Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Food Show, and we're here talking about food every day. Hope you can join us. I'm Marianne Fitzmaurice. Tom is here with me, and we're going to chat about whatever it is that you'd like to talk about. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. Food's the subject. And we have some places to share that we've been. And I went to Mother's today.
You did?
For lunch for the first time in, oh my goodness, a really, really long time. And I find it, if you wanted to take a snapshot of life in New Orleans, that's it.
That's a good looking piece of it.
It's got the whole New Orleans vibe.
Excuse me.
You can spot the tourists. They stick out like a sore thumb. I actually saw a couple sitting at Mother's today, mm-hmm. and I knew immediately they were mm-hmm. from someplace else. And she had a grilled shrimp salad in front of her, and he had like a, do you remember the old chef salads? They're now called, I guess, club salads.
Yeah, it always had the same things. American cheese. I'll find it. No.
And turkey and ham. Yes.
And ham, yeah.
And he had slices of all of those things. And he was in like one little half of a hard-boiled egg. And then she had the grilled shrimp. And I thought, what things would you never expect to see on a table at Mother's? And I'm sure that when those things were ordered, the person behind the counter taking the order must have thought, what? Well, I mean, we have it, but I mean, we never, ever serve that. Although I will say this, I was looking at the menu, just to look at the menu, because I haven't been there in so long. And I saw that they fry everything in peanut oil. And they have grilled items that are done in olive oil, which is kind of unusual. Because if you ask for something grilled in a restaurant, I would say more likely than not it is not done in olive oil. And I hope that is not true. So if you are a restaurateur and you have a grill and you are grilling things, I'd be really interested in knowing if you are using canola oil, which is kind of the standard, or olive oil, which is more expensive. And you're probably not going to admit it anyway, so I'm sure you're not going to call. But anyway, I would like to know if anyone knows this from being inside of a kitchen. You don't have to name the place, but I would be interested in knowing, when you order grilled shrimp, is it canola oil or olive oil? So when I saw this at Mother's, I thought, wow, that's different and unexpected.
We got a chance to take a look at what that might be like, though. We were over at that place on the North Shore, the pizza. What's the name of it?
New Orleans Food and Spirits?
Food.
No. Leonardo's.
Leonardo's,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact,
that's right, we haven't talked about that.
It was a good enough restaurant that I think we'd like to come back to it maybe a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was thinking about this. So we had a pizza,
yeah,
along with other things.
Yeah.
And before the first pizza came out, they brought us out several loaves of bread, which were imbued with some herbs of various kinds, some Parmesan cheese, I think. I'm not sure.
Well, that was the oil. The bread was, it looked like it had been
oil,
baked in-house. But it was really one of those, I'm sorry, I know mm-hmm. Leonardo's has a lot of fans, but I didn't really like the bread. It was really heavy. It was like the crumb inside of it was really, really heavy. And it was not all that crusty on the outside, so it was kind of doughy. And I don't really like doughy bread. But anyway, that came to the table with olive oil and a little Parmesan and balsamic vinegar, you know, the standard thing that you get on the table at an Italian restaurant now. But it wasn't that so much that made the impression on me. It was the way that the service unfolded there. I thought that was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. It was a big surprise because that is a fan favorite over there. And I was very disappointed to have the kind of service that there was over there. Anyway, 260-6368. We will talk more about our trip to Leonardo's and to Mother's, because that's where I went for lunch today. Tom had some business, and I just ran across the street until
we got
to the show.
They don't have pizza over there, do they?
To the
show. That would be something new.
I don't know, but I don't get the impression that, you know, I would say I don't get the impression that much changes there, and I'm sure it doesn't, but I feel like they would, you know, be kind of open to it, because I just couldn't believe my eyes to see grilled shrimp and to see that the grilled shrimp were grilled in olive oil, because that's kind of a forward-thinking sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, not today, because that's what everybody's doing, but if you're talking about a place like Mother's, that is all about the tradition, and the tradition goes back to 1938, that is not something that you would expect to see.
But anyway, they did it anyway.
Yeah, 260-6368. Let's go right into the Porter and Luke's. Porter and Luke is a wonderful neighborhood restaurant in Metairie. And it has all of the comfort food things that you would expect to see at a neighborhood restaurant. There's the fried chicken that they're famous for. They have the hollowed out eggplant that is deep fried and served over with stuffed with seafood dressing and served over angel hair pasta in a cream sauce. There is various kinds of sandwiches. There are various kinds of sandwiches. They have red beans and rice, sometimes served with a ham shank or a pork chop or sausage. All of these things you will see coming through the dining room at any time at Porter and Luke. And since we're going to talk about Porter and Luke maybe six times in the next 2 hours, I'm not going to go through the whole menu each time. Porter and Luke is a place that you should definitely try. It's in Metairie at 1517 Metairie Road in the shopping center that has Walgreens and also Oakwin Heart. Do give them a look, because it's a really, really good place. It's my favorite club sandwich in the whole world, and they have fresh-cut chips that come with it. It's Porter and Luke in Metairie, 1517 Metairie Road.
Well, you know how we can get sometimes when there's something that we, maybe just me rather than we, say about the food that's out there as being children's food.
No, you say that. You're the only one who
says
that.
Okay. Fair enough.
Oh, we have a caller. So, Tom, we have a caller. Let's go to Scott.
Well, okay. Scott, welcome to the food show.
Yes, Tom, my wife and I went to, I think, a little trip to the Pacific Northwest last month, and went to Seattle area. And then you would be interested in this. We took the train to Vancouver, British Columbia.
Uh-huh. And then you took the Canadian train after that?
No, we took the Amtrak. From Seattle to Vancouver, and it hugs the coast. You know, it's spectacular, really.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The food in Vancouver is really excellent. It's very, you know.
It's a big restaurant city, for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge restaurant city. And of course, Seattle is, too. Not that they don't really have a distinctive cuisine like we do, sort of international, you know. But it was a wonderful trip, and that's a great restaurant city.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to have more restaurants in Vancouver than any place else in the world, isn't that something
I heard
somewhere?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Asian there, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Asian.
There's
a huge number of Asians. Actually, as an aside, the real estate is the most expensive in North America, I think.
I could see that.
That city.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very expensive. But the cuisine is wonderful. Lots of Asian cuisine, lots of farmers markets.
Uh-huh. I was about to grab onto that because that's the most fascinating thing to me is all of the areas where they're selling everything, fish, meats of all kinds, and it's not finished. This is what you're going to take home and cook. And
exactly.
They are really fabulous at that.
Well, usually those markets have a lot of prepared foods. And, you know, in those big, big markets, you can get things to cook at home, but you can also, there are little kiosks of food. Do they have that? Have you seen a lot of that, Scott?
Oh, yes. Yes. There's a place called Granville Island, which is pretty close to our hotel, where they have a huge... It is a combination of little kiosks and fresh produce and fish, and they have real honest-to-God butchers there with little butcher stores.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. There are some places around there where people actually get on boats and then go out into the
waters and
come back with some really nice. Fish and shellfish.
They have a lot of that kind of stuff up in Alaska where you can.
Oh, yeah.
I remember on the cruise ships, one of the excursions was that you could go out and do fishing. There's a lot of great fish up there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you for calling, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Thank you very much. Bye.
Oh, how'd you like the train?
Oh, no. He left. Scott, call back. Tom was going to ask you about the train because I know he wants to hear about the train. I thought he was done with that. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. Scott, if you wanted to call back and talk to Tom about the train, he's very disappointed that he didn't get to talk about the train.
Oh, well. I've done it before. I don't need to do it
again. Our son is in Seattle right now looking for
food.
I'm sure actually he's going to be working, so probably isn't going to get to be eating out too much. But Seattle has become quite a food town.
Oh, yeah. And those young fillers and fellers and Phyllises.
They have, I'll tell you what, they have an extremely different way of eating than any previous
What would that be?
Thing.
I never
I'll tell you what,
that.
I had lunch the other day with this guy who is related to a local company whose living is made from canned products. And he was saying that the business is being altered by the fact that market research states that millennials don't open cans.
Hmm. Boy, that makes a statement, doesn't it?
Well, it's an interesting thing. I mean, you can find out all kinds of things about all demographics of people, but your business is changed when things change. Like the millennials are running a lot of things, and they are changing the way we eat, and they're changing restaurants, and they're changing menus in restaurants because they like to eat smaller versions of things. But I'm finding that a lot of the restaurants that we are looking at are just they're lower end restaurants that millennials would go to. And we went to one yesterday and Mary Lee and I were really surprised at how much we hated it. but it was just because it was not, we were looking for something a little bit better than what was offered. And it was catering to a certain clientele of which we are not. So, and I think that's kind of changing the dynamic of all kinds of things. But I thought it was really interesting when he told me that the market research has shown that this guy is now going to have to change what he does to adapt to a simple truth that millennials don't open cans, which, what market research is for. You have to pay a lot of money for it, but it's just kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah, well.
Anyway, 260-6368 is the number, and we'll take a break, and we'll be back.
Yeah. And if you've ever had any food in your entire life, call us and tell us about it. And if you're thinking, well, hey, why do I need to, you know, even the low end? Tell me the most interesting part of the cuisine that we get that way shows that some stuff from the back years is still really great. And then you have those cans, too. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice coming to you live today from overlooking the Mississippi River. Anything out there today? Let's see. Oh, I see there's those big piles of something.
We are back. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. I'm Marianne Fitzmaurice with Tom Fitzmaurice here. I had lunch at Mother's. When was the last time you did that? I think I've been to Mother's in my whole life a handful of times. And I went today just because I was across the street from the station and I needed a quick lunch and I wanted to see, because you know, you pass by Mother's and you see lines of people out there waiting for the doors to open. And I just thought when I went in, what a slice of New Orleans this place is. It is absolutely the quintessential New Orleans spot. When was the last time you were at Mother's? Have you ever been to Mother's? And what are your thoughts about it? I thought, Doug, I gave you the other half of the sandwich that I had. Did you like it?
I will eat it later.
Oh, you haven't eaten it. Okay. Well, I got the debris roast beef, poor boy. I tell you what, it looked like a school cafeteria. It had the cafeteria line there. But it had a charm that a school cafeteria does not have, for sure. And I was initially underwhelmed just because that's, you know, not really my kind of place. But I was charmed as time went on and I saw the people who had come in from Peoria, Illinois, and all over the place to have a slice of New Orleans, because that's exactly what it is, the slice of New Orleans. But I was tempted to get the ham because they're so famous for their baked ham. And I got the roast beef debris, and I was thinking that it was going to be just debris, but it wasn't. It was actually kind of a peculiar sandwich. It was slices of roast beef, which looked like they were cold, like the roast beef had been pre-cooked and was not sitting in a gravy getting soft. It was just like two slices of cold roast beef, would be my guess. And then all of this debris that was put on top of it. So you had like a twofer kind of thing. And I know that Tom, whenever he orders a roast beef, it's like, you know, you sit there and you eat with someone for a long, long time, and you know pretty much what they're going to say whenever they order something. Like, I know if we're going to a Mexican restaurant, Tom is going to have a discussion about whether or not there is mole on the menu, and that there should be mole on the menu, even though he and only five other people other than the Mexican population that comes into the place, and really it's not Mexican food, it's American food, but so they're not going to have mole because it's not terribly authentic. So I know that we're going to have that discussion. And then I know that if he's going to order red beans and rice somewhere, that he's going to ask if he could have hot sausage with it. And if there isn't hot sausage, why there isn't hot sausage. But the third thing that I can always expect to hear from Tom if he's ordering a roast beef poor boy is light on the gravy. And I always wonder why he goes through that trouble, because by its nature, a roast beef poor boy is messy. But there's a point to it, because today I started to eat this roast beef poor boy and it just completely fell apart because it had been sitting for even a few minutes with all of that gravy and the bread just sort of disintegrated. So I was sort of eating this pile of stuff that just kept dropping because it was disintegrating before me. But I asked for extra pickles and got so many extra pickles that I had to leave some of them. But it was kind of a good sandwich. I didn't expect much, because I really do think that most of the people in the line are tourists. And in fact, they are. I did talk to the guy who runs it, and he said that it looked to me like it was an 80-20 breakdown. So I thought, you know, maybe it's not going to be all that good, but it actually was good. And I thought that everything that I saw looked good. And I mean, I didn't get to eat too much. I just had a little bit of that roast beef poor boy. But it was very meaty. And the bread was not really, really toasted, but it was toasted enough. And there was a huge slab of mayo. And I know that they serve their sandwiches with chopped cabbage instead of lettuce. So I'm not a huge fan of that, but it was it worked, you know. Anyway, I was more impressed by the fact that I saw the grilled shrimp, because that is not something that I would expect to see at a place like that. That's a fried kind of place.
A fried
kind
of shrimp.
If ever there was one.
Shrimp,
that
mostly?
Is a fried. No, I'm talking about Mother's. It's a fried kind of place.
Oh,
if ever
Mother's.
I saw
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. Let's talk about Porter and Luke again.
Hmm.
What's your favorite thing at Porter and Luke?
Well, I've said this enough times, but here comes another one. I love their turtle soup. It's everything I want out of a turtle soup. It's very dark and black almost. It's just spidey? No, just it's just sharply enough. It's got a little tang to it that you don't want to back away from it, and you know, and you don't ever want a lot more because it's right down the middle.
Yeah.
It's
real turtle, too, right?
Oh, it's real turtle as far as I can tell. I haven't been able to get anybody to tell me exactly what it is, but
seems like
to my palate,
and
I'm not trying to show off it by saying that I have a palate. Look
well,
at that. There goes another one right
it's
there.
Kind
okay.
of common knowledge that you have a palate, so yeah.
Well, you never know. There might be people who want to show off, turning
What
over.
Else do you like there?
I like the fact that if you start looking around in their seafood department of the day, they will have, you know, like 4-5 different seafood entrees, even. And I always look at those because they often involve kinds of fish that we hardly ever see. And I always go for those, whatever they are, because these guys are good enough to know that it would be the wrong thing to do to bring something really offbeat into a...
Well, certainly not to a comfort food kind of place like Porter and Luke.
That's right.
But I love the club sandwich there, and I want to try the meatballs and spaghetti. I've not ever tried the meatballs and spaghetti there, so I definitely would like to... one of these days, when I bring myself to deviating from my club sandwich, even though I
deviating?
Did it... Deviating? I did it once. I did... The waitress talked me into a hamburger, which was actually very good, but it was not my club sandwich, and I'm just such a creature of habit. That's just what I do. Anyway, one of these days I'm going to try a couple of other things, but the meatballs and spaghetti is my first thing, and the ham shank with red beans, and this chicken and pasta dish, which looks really, really good. 260-6368 is the number. I wanted to also mention that Porter and Luke is at 1517 Metairie Road in that shopping center with Walgreens on one end and Oakwin Heart on the other.
And
we were talking about Mother's.
We did.
And I was curious to see if anyone had been to Mother's lately, and obviously no one has. I would like to know if you have what you thought of it. It was... It's a hybrid of people and a slice of Americana for sure. Do you remember the Eat Club we did there once?
I did.
It was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
That
was at a time when the Eat Club was at its absolute peak.
Yeah. What was that? That
was
like
lots of people.
It's probably 10 years ago.
Something like that. I think it was actually a little before
that,
the first Eat
Club's been around a long time.
When we did the very first Eat Club dinner, we only were able to get 12 people.
Yeah.
But then
that
it started.
That was 27 years ago.
It was quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
Now we can remember it. And
and then the Eat Clubs went into 30 cruises.
Yeah.
And then wine dinners came, and we stopped doing so many Eat Clubs, and now people ask for Eat Clubs, but we don't do them, which is too bad.
Well, that's all right. You can become a fun, engaged kind of person without having the same things all everywhere you go.
260-6368 is the number. We went to Leonardo's. We were talking about that.
Yeah, and Leonardo's.
Yeah, Leonardo's Trattoria on the North Shore. And what did you think about that?
You know, there was something... I like it. I think it's very good. Yeah. If I had to complain about anything, and this is just minor, totally, is that the crust of their pizzas are just a little too thick.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I think it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a New York quality to it, but maybe it, I think some New Yorkers would say, the crust is too thick.
It's a little doughy for my taste.
Doughy?
And I didn't.
Hey, doughy!
I didn't really care for it. I have to say.
Yeah.
I know that's not something that you hear very often.
Yeah. Well.
But he's back from it. It's
doughy.
Not the way I don't care for it. I hesitate to say that because it's such a popular place over there.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Not one of my favorites. I didn't find that pizza was any particularly flavorful thing. I mean, what I ordered after the pizza was garlic and olive oil pasta, aglio olio.
How far wrong are you going to go with that?
It's like you can't mess that up. So I enjoyed that. And that's really just kind of what I felt like eating yesterday, which is kind of surprising for me, but eating a lot of carbs these days.
You
yeah.
are?
Yeah, I am.
I seem to be losing them. How can I pass some over?
I don't know. I would love if I could pass some over to you. 260-6368, if you would like to share a place that you have been to eat, we would love to hear about it. If you are wondering where you should go and eat, we might be able to help you with that. Or if you just want to talk about any single food item.
Yeah,
or
why not?
Anything at all.
I mean, there is so much availability out there.
We will take a break. 260-6368. We'll be back. We are back. 260-6368. I'm Marianne Fitzmaurice with Tom Fitzmaurice.
And so am I.
Well, no, not really.
Well, you know, we can have a little laugh once in a while.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
Only once.
In a while, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about food and would like you to join us in talking about food. We are talking about a couple of places that we have been to lately, one being Leonardo's Trattoria. Also, we stopped in at Nattini's last night.
Yeah, Nattini's.
Yeah.
Has been a number of restaurants over the years, but they're calling it quits
after Sunday.
Yeah, and we're talking about a restaurant that I thought was pretty good, pretty consistent.
I loved Nattini's. I was really, really happy with it in its last iteration, which was when they came back after the Legacy North situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Nattini's has been around for 13 years. And then about 3 years ago, Legacy North came in and they bowed out and went to work in their business in Mississippi. And then had to come back after about 19 months of Legacy North and take it back to being Nattini's, at which point they hired Duke LeCicero to take care of the kitchen, and it was at its absolute high point, I thought.
Very good, yeah.
And it was
a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Even the service people in there had gotten kind of a buzz. That might not be the best word, but
it had a wonderful feeling to it.
Yeah.
I would go into a Nattini's, and I would go in there not feeling so great, and then I would leave happy. And it was just this wonderful sort of air about it in the last iteration with Duke that I just, or maybe it was Duke, I don't know, I just really loved being there. It made me feel good to be there. And now they are going away after 13 years as of Sunday, and Nattini's will be no more, and it will be something else, which is to be announced. But they will be missed, I think, by a lot of people. I wouldn't say it was ever a brilliant restaurant, even with some of the chefs through there. I thought Pete Kusev was good. He is now at Lake House, and he is really an exceptionally good chef. But it's going to be sad to see them go because it was a very convivial. That's the word for Nattini's. It was a convivial place to be. I remember the good old days of Creole. Do you remember Creole?
Creole was really interesting in that I'd have to really check on this to give you the statistics, but I think in the time that they were open, which would have been a little bit before Hurricane, or a little bit after Hurricane Katrina.
No, it was like Katrina. Early 90s. It was early 90s when
I think it was after.
It was absolutely not then. I will tell you when it was, because we were just newly doing our volunteer work with the school. And
yeah, that's true.
And so the kids, okay, so let's see. Jude started in school, in grammar school then, in like 1994. So I would say it wasn't too long. They were probably there 3 years when we started doing the fairs. So this would have been 1997. I would say that that Creole was around in 1997, 98, and didn't really last that long, because Kenny started Dakota back, I think, in the late 80s, maybe early 90s. And then he had Creole and Dakota Wine and Feed, both of which were great restaurants. And then he set his sights on coming over here and closed Dakota Wine and Feed, and it became the Talbots, and closed Creole, and it became Rockefeller. And that space was never at a high point after Creole, I thought.
Yeah, and we used to go there with our kids who were in their teens.
No, they were little. They were little kids.
Well, yeah, then. Just below
little
them,
kids.
Let's
and
say.
And it was a great time, and then it was over, and mm-hmm. it became something else, and it was not nearly as good. And then the Benfattis moved in with Natini's, and it became a really happy place again.
Yeah.
And the people from Chalmette who had moved over after Katrina had a place to go and hang out and commiserate in the beginning, and then they had acclimated into the community and vice versa, and it was just kind of a happy place to be. So we will miss Natini's after Sunday.
Well, maybe something
Sunday.
Will come along.
After Sunday. No, they are definitely done in the restaurant
well,
business.
Well, I know they
sure.
are not, but I wonder.
And
somebody.
No, they will. It'll definitely be something else for sure.
It's a but good location, actually.
It is a good location, and I feel like the after Creole, the restaurants that were in that location were never up to the promise of that location, if that makes sense. In terms of, you know, like I said, I love Natini's, but not for the food. You know, it was pretty good, but it was never, you know, really, really great. And now it'll be interesting to see what happens next. That mm-hmm. that shopping center has undergone a lot of changes. And, you know, I guess things are always changing, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sure are. You know, I was thinking here for a minute or two that there are a lot of restaurants that are based on North Shore cookery that have come and gone, as well as anything else you've heard about. And, you know, that could almost make an article unto itself. All the places that have come along on the North Shore, because they, for the most part, were pretty good, and the prices were always better than average, and they were certainly very popular, too.
Well, I'll tell you, they were never as good as South Shore restaurants until a few years ago, but now I would say that we have restaurants absolutely up to the par of the South Shore restaurants on the North Shore, and then some. I'm quite satisfied with what is available for dining on the North Shore, and never actually feel the need to come to the South Shore to have a good meal, although we're here all the time.
Yeah.
But
it's quite good.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
260-6368. New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood is a place that came to the North Shore and left the
mm-hmm.
North Shore, but still has 10 locations
true.
Around town.
Yeah, that's true.
Including the original one on Veterans. And one in the quarter, and others scattered about the area. But New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood gives a really good representation of what the local cuisine is about.
Yeah.
It started off as the hamburger place with the hamburger accoutrement bar, the lettuce and tomato and things like that. But now it's a full-service restaurant. And it's wait a minute, are they full service? Are they full service?
New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
No, they're still counter service. Yeah, they're counter service. Anyway, they have really great hamburgers. Mm-hmm. They have really great seafood, fried, crisp, greaseless, golden brown. You can spice-alicious it, meaning kick up the spice level. And they have a lot of local specialties and char-grilled oysters now.
Yeah, I haven't tried the new versions of those yet, so I'll bet you
char-grilled oysters. Yep. You might want to go over there and check out the char-grilled oysters and other things at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood at any of their 10 locations, including the one in the French Quarter. Anyway, back to Leonardo. So we got, did you like the sausage that we had?
It was a little too thick for my tastes, but the flavor was good and the texture was actually pretty good.
That was a lot for $4.
It is. I thought it was a good bargain all the way through.
It was. I definitely am not a really large sausage person. I sort of like, the hot dog version, but this was pretty large, and there were so many of them. It was a $4 portion, but it was like four links, and it was good, though. I mean, that was not bad. It was a nice little fresh red sauce, and I thought that might have been one of the better things in the meal.
Yeah, well, that's easy enough to
negotiate.
There
were a lot of...
Should we tell the audience about... an untoward moment in that restaurant?
I'm afraid to ask you what that might be, so I think probably you should not say that until later.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what you're about to say. I'm most curious.
Well, it's one of the original people who were living in that area.
Oh, no, no, I don't. I know what you're talking about with the yep. vet place. No, we're not gonna. Let's not talk about
just
that.
Thought I'd bring it up.
Anyway, 260-6368 is the number, especially since it has absolutely nothing to do with the restaurant at all.
True or false?
What?
Hamburger, French fries, or hamburger, pizza. Let's do one more. Here it comes. It's coming.
Meatballs and spaghetti or meatballs, lasagna?
Lasagna. Here it comes. Lasagna and French fries.
Yeah.
So, what's the right combination?
Lasagna and French fries would definitely be a no.
No?
Definitely be a no. Anyway, I don't think that's a viable choice there. But we did have, I thought, a decent meal last night at Leonardo's. You had the mussels over rigatoni.
Uh-huh.
And
it was too much
good.
Food. I find myself eating way too much food.
Well, you don't
food.
Really eat anything anymore.
I don't.
No, you don't really eat anything.
I was eating pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, it didn't seem like you were eating much of anything.
Who said I did any planning? Yeah. Just ate it.
Yeah. Anyway, but I did want to go to some place tonight for dinner, and I hadn't really thought about it. I thought about maybe going to Galatoire's to see what's happened to Galatoire since Philip Lopez took over. I find that kind of interesting that restaurants like Galatoire's, or actually it is just Galatoire's now that I think about it, because...
Yeah.
Galatoire's has been, it's one of the grand dames. How old is it?
1905 or 1900, depending on how you look at it.
So Galatoire's has been around for a long time. And they have pretty much followed the same course of the grand dames who have had in their kitchens people who have come up through the ranks, like in the case of Lazone, for example, started as a dishwasher, wound up the executive chef at the old Brennan's. And that's kind of a lot of what has happened in the grand dames around town.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, they're getting more modern in the kitchen, with their chefs. Like the new Brennan's had Slade Rushing, which is about as cutting edge as you can get.
Yeah, he's pretty sharp.
But then Galatoire's hired Michael Sitchell, which is really cutting edge, and followed it.
Well, I never saw that in his food. His food was great.
That's what I find kind of interesting.
It was
so
good.
That Michael Sitchell,
who was
definitely cutting edge.
Yep.
And then left town. And then he was replaced by Philip Lopez, who is just about as cutting edge as you can get there.
Yeah, I
wonder what it must be like to be in a kitchen that is an old grand dame like that, with recipes that you don't dare deviate from, and put someone like Michael Sitchell or Philip Lopez in there. And then do they want to change things? Do they try to change things? Slade Rushing changed everything.
Yeah, he did.
And successfully, too. And there's a thing about New Orleans where you can't really change anything. What do you think about that?
Well, here is what's going on there, anyway. Who knows what's going in the minds of everybody else. But you could be the top guy in the kitchen at Galatoire's and consider it prepared perfectly, absolutely hit its goals of delivering the exact dishes that Galatoire's had become famous for a long time. And when it went to another guy, the old guy would have to really adjust, because you can't just walk in there with your favorite dishes and tell Galatoire's, well, here's what we're eating from now on, or that wouldn't have flown, but with the customers or
the chef,
the people who, or they're certainly not the chef. So you're very tempted, if you're in a business like that, to bring in restaurants that are kind of in the style of what you were getting at Galatoire's, but it actually was different. So I think that has worked out pretty well for them.
You think that the food at Galatoire's is different?
Different from what?
Different
what it used
from,
to be?
Different from the original before the Young Turks came in.
Much different, yeah.
So the food that under Michael Sitchell, you feel like you noticed a difference in the food at Galatoire's under Michael Sitchell?
Yeah.
In what way?
Just some ingredients prepared in certain different ways. There was nothing deep and dark as part of...
I mean, it definitely wasn't as ambitious and changed as it was at Brennan's, where there was just the ever so slightest difference in what was on the plate from... I won't say ever so slightest, a major difference in what was on the plate, with just a hint of what it used to be. Like, you know, the Jackson
salad. Not better, not worse.
Just incredibly different. But they were both good. Like, I used to love the Jackson salad, and I think they actually still call it the Jackson salad.
The Jackson salad?
But it does not in any way resemble the old Jackson salad. It was more of a sort of a deconstructed thing. And I loved it. I loved the new Jackson salad, but I loved the old Jackson salad too. So I think it's certainly doable, and most people are afraid to try it, but I haven't noticed a difference in Galatoire's with the young guys in the kitchen.
Yeah, well, you know, that goes on no matter what, but I think it's it's evolving pretty well.
I think it's always evolving, but I am kind of curious to see what Philip Lopez has done, because I think Philip Lopez is further out on the limb than
anybody.
Most people, I would say, but certainly.
When I wrote the article that I write every year at the end of the year, I said that the best new restaurant of the year was going to be your guy there.
Philip Lopez?
Philip
was
Lopez.
Was this for Root or Square Root?
For Square Root.
Okay.
This was in the years when dinner cost $159.
Oh, that was per the, person. Wasn't it like a prefix thing at that place?
No, they did it all right there because we did a couple of Eat Clubs there.
Is this Root or Square Root? Which one did you say?
The Square Root.
Square Root, okay.
Yeah, which were two different buildings.
Which is now Gree Gree. Which is Gree
Gree, right,
okay.
Yeah. I think Gree Gree, in my mind, has become the best of the whole bunch of them.
Well, okay, so you went to Root when it was right there where the Galliano is now. That was Root.
Yeah.
And I remember your first thoughts about Root when you saw it. You thought, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And then after your first couple of tubes of blueberry gel or whatever it was that came out of the tubes, you thought, you know what? I have to admit, this is really good. Do you remember saying that about Root?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I warmed up to it good. But then
when he did Square Root, didn't you think that that was kind of like way over the edge?
I actually liked that a lot, but I couldn't see any possible way that that was going to stay in business doing that kind of food for any length of time. It was really good.
You know what?
But you have
to have a certain mainstreamness about
you. Yeah.
You have to at least be able to relate in some way, even peripherally, to more people than not.
Yeah.
You can't be so far out on a limb.
You can't. You can be underneath a limb.
Well, you know, you can do that in a place like LA.
I don't even know what I mean by that. What?
You can do that in a place like LA.
Yeah.
Where there's so many people and so much money that you can charge exorbitant prices. Like there's a place there called Maud, which is what is his name?
That was, among other things, the given name of the Brennan.
Yes, the matriarch.
The wife of
Owen.
Yeah.
Right.
Owen.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The matriarch. Anyway, yeah. But there is a place. Curtis Stone, that's his name.
Who?
Curtis Stone, who's a really good-looking guy from Australia who has taken the United States by storm, and he has a restaurant in L.A. called Maud, which is, you know, one of those L.A. things that's super bizarre, and it's, you got to reserve 6 months in advance, and there's only, you know, 12 seats in the place. Kind of like what Square Root was here. But you
Maud,
can do that.
Just like
you
up,
can do that
up to date,
in a place.
Right?
You can do that in a place like L.A., where there's so much money and so many people that you're going to find people to fill that all the time. But that's not something that people here would really understand
Maybe not.
And that's exactly what happened. But he's now over at Galator's, and I'm kind of curious to see what's going on over there in his tenure.
We have to stop, though, because the news is coming, and then after we listen to that,
we'll be back for another hour.
More of the Food Show.
260-6368 New Orleans 105.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.